Meet my friend Sarah Acevedo, former New York model, celebrity stylist, and personal shopper to anyone looking to up their fashion game and create a cohesive style. Sarah has an amazing talent for matching her clients' wardrobes to their lifestyle and personality, creating a look that is approachable and authentic. And her own style is ooh la la, so very French. I've been wanting to interview Sarah for over a year, and finally, the stars aligned. I met Sarah at the door, she looking impeccably dressed after a busy day of shopping and fittings, me in my usual work-from-home uniform, which includes yoga pants and well-worn Uggs. But no judgment. We poured a cup of tea and got right down to business. And here it is. I realize you probably can't talk about who you've dressed, but tell me some of the events that you've dressed for.
I've done, I've pretty much done every major award show and then regular TV, you know, all the TV circuit. Celebrities generally have, it's a beat, you know, depending on whether they're on a show or they're in movies or whatever. So there's a beat. There's definitely a circuit beat that celebrities have. There's Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel. I've done all those things. It's interesting to say that out loud. So yeah, I've done all the major award shows. I think I don't usually work with musicians, done, and I realized recently that that's my next thing. But I think the longer that I've been styling, you know, just like anything else, I think you get more ambitious to go in the direction that you want to go in because you trust, you know, you just have enough experience to trust yourself and know that you'll do the right thing.
Now, what are some of the reasons people should consider working with a stylist?
I think it varies depending on the person's place in life, you know, what they do for a living. I think anyone should consider having a stylist, but for different reasons. I mean, celebrities have them because they're in the public eye all the time, for one. But also, when you really look at the amount of work they do in their career and the time that they have, it's not practical for them to do their own wardrobe. It's just not. Imagine having a rigorous schedule like that. You're filming all the time. You're getting up at 5 a.m. Like if you're on a TV show, sometimes you're getting up at 5, you're getting up at 3 a.m. You're working 12-hour days, you know, you're on location. So to then have to think about what you're gonna wear when you're half exhausted, you know?
Yeah, and shopping takes dedication.
It really does, and you know, because you are very specific about, you know, you're a good shopper and you like to find specific things and you have a vision. And when you have that, it's not the same as just going down and getting whatever's presented to you. So I think that's the difference too, is it's a way to control your image, but you're really controlling it with a stylist. And it's someone who will spend the time to do that. If you're a regular, everyday person, This is just what I believe, and I've never found it to be different in any case, actually. When It starts with yourself and getting ready in the morning, it's like that is the first thing one would normally do. So it starts out the day. If you know what you're going to wear and you know what you're going to look like, there's a level of planning. It's a way to control, I feel like, the way the day goes and have some control on what your mood is going to be like. I always have a better day if I look good. It just translates to more production. I really like that about it. So I think it really is for anyone. For people that don't have a celebrity lifestyle, they are looking, I think, more for reassurance and confirmation that what they like is okay. And I think that's why I started also doing personal shopping, because there isn't a difference between regular people and celebrities. Yeah. The resources might be different. And the schedule and lifestyle is different, yes. But people are not different. And people look at celebrities and they're like, oh, wow, and they have this great style and they did it. But the truth of the matter is style takes time to cultivate. Unless you grew up in a household where your mother was stylish or your father or whoever, or your grandmother, and you had an influence, it is like a muscle. You have to work it out and flex it and learn to be stylish. And I think, like, I don't really cook like you do. So me trying to eat healthy and do that whole thing is work. I have to think about the ingredients and it's a little bit like effortful and it's like, okay, well, okay, I got to get the broccoli. I got to oh yeah, I've got to eat the vegetables. And I don't really think like that because that's not how I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
But I think style is the same way. The more you get exposed to it and the more you have pieces in your closet that are the style that you're looking for, it's easier to get dressed. I think for normal people, they are looking for that sort of like, is what I like okay?
Yeah.
And that's for me what I, just as like an aside, what I feel is different about how I style. That's the one thing that I feel like does set me apart from other people, in the fact that I do happen to do celebrity styling also. Because I don't approach it from, I do like fashion a lot. But for me, styling isn't about, it's not really just about fashion. I prefer quality anyway, like that's more of my thing. But even if you took that away, I'm more about like, how can a person feel like themselves when they're doing their job? Because if you don't feel like yourself though, that isn't productive.
And then I would think too, as far as hiring a stylist goes, that if you were wanting to maybe move up the ladder at your job, or, you know, they say dress for the job you want, not for the job you have.
I totally agree with that. You have to decide where you want to end up, not the life that you have right now. And that doesn't have anything to do with economics. It's like, okay, great. If you want to end up being the CEO, then that's the beingness that you should have. Even if you're the receptionist, you could still wear a blazer or, you know, find a way to be professional and
step up your game a little bit.
That's right. And people do notice that. That's another thing. Like, you know, we can all get into like, get very deep in how it's all superficial and fashion and the way one looks isn't important. And I just like roll my eyes because statistically, it's just not true. If you don't agree with the way that someone looks, especially if they're in a position of power, you don't listen to them.
Right.
If they don't fit the bill, that's just what it is. So if you're a movie star, then look like a movie star, you know? It doesn't mean that you can't ever wear sweatpants or be comfortable or have a normal life, but
yeah, on Sunday night at home with pizza.
Yeah, that's right. Or if you're going to do it, I mean, put on a trench coat or whatever, you know, like there's ways to do it so you don't look crazy. But I do really feel that how you look does influence things. And when I first started styling, it's funny because I did toy with that. I tried to see whether my appearance did influence the jobs. And you know what? Invariably, I got more jobs when I looked better.
Wow.
It's just the way it is, you know, so I don't know what to say. It's like, that's what walks in the door before you even open your mouth.
So now walk me through the process. How do you work with a new client?
I always do a survey with a new client because I like to find out just what their goal is. So what's the objective here? I try to find out, where is the person going? So if it's a celebrity, even if they're a new celebrity, what kind of movies do you want to be in? Do you want to be in comedies? Do you want to be in great dramas? What's the thing that you want to do? Do you want to be a CEO? Are you a stay-at-home mom? I mean, I have a client that stays home and she hikes a lot with her dogs and she does things, but she also doesn't want, she then goes out and gets coffee and sees her friends and she's like embarrassed after she's gone to the dog park and she has slobber all over her. So you're like, well, okay, what do we do with that? But so it's always first, what's the objective? And then I usually look at photos of things that they like, clothing wise. If they don't have that, I look at whose style do they like, and I really try to understand what they like about it. Because it's funny, people will say though, like, oh, I like, I want to look like Jennifer Lopez. And you're like, okay, fine. But they're, you know, they have a totally different body, a totally different life, a totally different whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it is my job to figure out, okay, why do you like that? What is it that you like about it? So it's a little bit of a search and discovery to really find out why the person likes it. And I spend a lot of time on that. Because if you do that, even if you don't have a stylist, it's easier. Like if I'm just consulting someone, that's the advice that I give them, is really pick apart why you like it and then what your life is like and where you're trying to go and what's your environment.
Yeah.
And when you do that, it's so easy because you can recognize very simply, oh yeah, I want that dress, I want this. And anytime I skip that piece, it's much more work.
Yeah.
You get the idea of what it is that you're going for. And then two, you got to play off the person's body and their sizing, what the financial aspects, do they want to spend money on dresses? Are designers important to them? Will they wear vintage? Will they wear leather? You know, whatever it is. And you really got to think with, okay, great. So maybe the person's plus size and they tell you that they like Kate Hudson. Well, she's teeny tiny.
Yeah.
So I spend a lot of time on that to just go, okay, great. Well, they like suits. Let's find suits that are going to fit their body. And then that's a whole other thing too. So then I look at sizing. If I can, I take all their measurements, because that's another thing too. Now sizing is so, it's everywhere. I could be a size 12 and sometimes I'm a size 6.
Yeah.
So that just shows you the range.
And also, sometimes you just want things to fit differently.
That's right. Like, yeah.
You want a sweater to be tighter or bigger or...
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's where a tailor comes in too. That's like, to me, the secret weapon at the end, that every article I've read on any stylist, that's not really like a secret thing, you know, just to me. But tailoring is a big thing because, you know, clothes are made on the patterns that they're made and each size goes up by inches.
Right.
So that's just very general. But if your body is more curvy, everyone's got a different body. And that's another thing too, though. People don't realize that. You know, they see celebrities or they go, wow, they just have these perfect bodies.
I feel like you almost have to consider tailoring as part of the cost of the thing.
Mm-hmm. I always price that out because there's no way, you know, maybe less than 10% of people fit clothes off the rack perfectly. Yeah. So you do have to handle the proportions. That's just what you can do with a tailor. But so yeah, we go through that whole process. And once that's done, we figure out the shopping, you know, so I either, again, it ranges, but usually I end up doing the shopping for or with the person. And then we'll go out and just, we have our ideas, we have our mood board. I make a list of what things the person needs against maybe what they do have. If they've got nothing, okay, then we figure out that. And we just go for it and find the things. I'm a big fan of like capsule collections in the
50s. I was just gonna ask you that.
I'm a huge fan of that. I'm not crazy about waste. I do love that sustainability is a thing now,
mm-hmm.
but there's so many cool ways that you can translate sustainability now. And I don't think it's just about like wearing something, you know, I don't like synthetic fabrics personally. I just
yeah.
They don't do what you want them to do. They don't lay right. There's so many reasons. They don't feel good when you sweat. It's just
yeah.
so many reasons other than sustainability why I don't like them. But it's, I like capsule collections and I like that idea a lot. I feel like the capsule collection is amazing because when they were doing that, it was one coat, one pair of trousers, one dress, one top, and everything went with everything.
Right.
So when I shop, especially for someone's wardrobe, for a lifestyle type thing, mm-hmm. I try to keep that in mind and I don't like to just go in excess. I think that works for most people. For me, it also works very well. There are some people that their style's all over the map and they can kind of carry that off.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think most people, I think if you kind of get into your lane,
yeah,
it's much easier to get dressed like that. And if you do that, then you can also do the random one-off, you know? But also I try to pick a color scheme. That's another thing that I'm pretty adamant about, is like, what are the colors, you know? So maybe you're, I don't care about colors from the viewpoint, like that old school
the
thing.
The spring,
like,
summer.
No,
yeah.
If it looks good, it looks good.
Yeah.
There is some truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't do well with warm colors. They just generally don't look good on me, but sometimes they do.
Yeah.
So I feel like rules are really stupid in fashion and in style. But if you pick a color scheme, like for me, I like to wear navy, black, creams. I really like neutral colors. And then you can do like, all right, pull in a bright purple, but that
yeah.
works with those colors,
yeah.
you know? So I think when you do that, the cohesiveness of picking things and picking styles, that is where it makes it easier to get dressed. And it makes it like a second nature thing.
Have you ever come across any clients who want to dress in a way that you knew was completely wrong for them?
All the time.
How do you handle that?
All the time. I think it just goes back to that thing of really understanding why they like it. What is it they like about it? And so if you break that down enough and the person's willing to communicate with you enough, you can find that common denominator and make it work for them. There's that, but then it's also just giving them wins. Showing a person, I have clients all the time, celebrity or not, you say, put this on. No, I'm not wearing that. Well, just put it on. It doesn't cost anything to put it on. No, it's not going to look good. Okay, put it on. And they put it on and it's like, wow, I love this.
Wow.
So I think it's, you know, you just have to get the person to drop their considerations
mm-hmm.
on what they think. And when you're dressing for your body and your style, they see it in a different way. But then if it just doesn't, handle, I educate the person, you know, like, well, your body type is like this, and this is why it doesn't look good. But in every fitting I do, I always take photos, because what you see in real life, it's not that it's distorted. It's just, it's too hard to look at it and really go, why does it look good?
Isn't that funny? When you flatten things out, it looks so different.
It looks so, so, so different. I mean, we're in this age where with social media and photos, and especially with celebrities. With celebrities, it's different because sometimes, most of the time, we'll pick what looks good in a photo. It has to look good otherwise. But if there's, let's say there's two looks that look really great and one looks better in the photo, we're always going to go with that. Because in that case, that's the thing that's lasting. No one's going to remember or talk about
that night.
But if there's a photo of it, the photo is what really happened. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of now how we're changing our, we have our narratives, you know, and that's, the narrative is, what did it look like on Instagram, and what are people's, what's their life like on Instagram? And, you know, fine, it's a bit of an illusion, but that's a great way to educate too, though, is to, you know, you take a photo and you're like, look, you know, in your midsection, it's poking out more and it's not a straight line and your waist doesn't go in. And, you know, the color is so bright, I don't see your face. That's a big thing for me, though, is like, is the person wearing the clothes? In a photo, you can really tell. If you just look at the clothes, I don't usually pick that.
The clothes are wearing the person.
Fully. When you look up to the person's face and there's an overall like, oh, that's Kelly, you know, there she is, you know, and I don't really like that, you know, and I don't, I think when that happens, it's when it's like a case of a bad stylist or someone influenced them in the incorrect way. And usually those people do end up on the worst dress list. Because if you look at like Tracee Ellis Ross, she's got great style and it's more out there than others, but it fits her.
It totally fits her.
Right? She just does it. And everything she does for the most part is pretty amazing, but she's got this big personality.
Yeah.
You know? So that's a case where it's out there, but it works.
Yeah.
And I think that it doesn't work for everybody.
Well, I think nothing's worse than feeling conspicuous. So if you can't pull off that attention, don't attract it.
I agree with that. People are generally strangely uncomfortable with attention. But I think that too is like what you kind of have to, celebrities do it too. And I find it interesting because you're like, that's kind of part of the job. But that just, that's what I mean by everyone's not the same, but everyone, there's these common threads that run through everyone. And even celebrities sometimes are like, well, I don't want to wear that. You know, I don't know. It's like, it's really bright or it's like, well, it looks great.
I was just curious about people who don't live in LA. Do you do Skype consultations or?
It's actually, thank God for technology. You can do so much with that. You can, you know, the person, I've done fittings with celebrity clients too, when we just don't have time and we're just, I drop off stuff, they try it on, I'm sitting at home, you know, and they're like, what about this? And we're laughing and it's really fun.
And you're FaceTiming and trying on clothes.
So they go into the closet or wherever, they come back and it's like, what about this? No. Let's try the next one. But it's cool. I can sit there and snap photos of the screen while we do it. And it's great. Even I find doing consultations is better because what they need is education. You know, not everyone can afford having you go out and spend hours and hours to search for things. And people don't necessarily need that. You know, like if they want it, great. But what people really need is education on how to dress and what to do with it and where to go also, because now the brick and mortar stores are less and less. So it's an interesting thing though, because buying clothes online, just that's where the things in two dimensions don't work as well.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't. I mean, some websites now like Net-a-Porter, they have a video too where someone's walking, you know, but it's also on a model that's a size 4. It's kind of hard to envision what it's going to look like on you. But once someone sort of gets, I think, into their groove, I started doing the personal shopping for people for this reason, because I found people just needed education on it. But then also I started doing a monthly thing where we just do consulting. Like someone pays a monthly fee after we do like an initial consultation, and I send them maybe 3 or 4 things a month. And I just say, you know, this is what you should buy. Once I know their wardrobe, it's really easy. So they can maintain it and keep it up, but it doesn't have to be a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not shelling out thousands of dollars all the time.
So that actually brings me to the next question, which is there a certain shopping budget a person should have in mind before they work with a stylist?
I think you should know where you're at economically, but I don't think that that I usually develop with the person, you know, based on what they're trying to do, and I can come up with solutions if I have an idea of their budget. So yeah, I think one should have a concept of, like, you know, if $10,000 is completely out of the question, I'd like to know that. But I think a person doesn't know, mm-hmm. you know, they don't know what they're looking for. So how would they know what it's going to cost?
So maybe you'd start with a consultation, yep. and then.
I just had a person that I did that for where I did ask her her budget, but then I went to her house and I looked at what she had, and she had nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. It was just, she had good style. She just didn't know where to get it from. And in this particular case, she was also plus size. So the options are limited. Yeah. And so I went there and I looked and I thought, okay, great. Well, we're going to have to start from scratch. So I made a list of all the things that she needed and I priced it out and said, you should probably, this is about what you look at spending. Is mm-hmm. that okay with you? And she said, yeah, I can swing that. So, but we did it in the range of where she's at economically. But I think that that helps. And I try to really stay away from, like, the fast fashion, though. That's the one thing that I try to stay away from.
Yeah.
And I think that that is what's cool about having a stylist, because there's a lot of ways. Everything's about presentation. And so it's not just, can you shop at Bergdorf's or do you shop at Target? There's such a range in between. Mm-hmm. And there's so many great brands that make quality things. If you know what you're looking for, that's where the list and the planning comes into play. But if you're just looking for, you know, a stripe, let's say like a Frenchie striped t-shirt, you can find that. You know, and there's websites like ShopStyle, which is amazing. Do you know that website?
I've seen that one.
It's so cool. You can go on there and put gray t-shirt and it will bring up loads of websites that carry gray t-shirt, and it doesn't direct you to the website unless you click on it. So if you know what you're looking for in terms of quality, it's also easier to save money, you know, because I don't do the high route when it comes to sometimes classic things. I don't see the point. Classic cuts, you know, striped t-shirt. The other smart thing is shopping and knowing when the sales are and, you know, sort of doing that. And now we have these great resale, like in LA especially, there's all these great vintage shops. But vintage now isn't vintage 20 years old vintage. It's just gently used, really, most of it. So there's, yeah. anyway, there's ways. There's so many ways.
Yeah.
It just depends on how into it the person wants to get, you know?
Yeah.
But there's ways to create on it.
Yeah. There's great consignment shops and the Real mm-hmm. and...
Me too. The Real's awesome.
Yeah.
And also that's how you can, if you like nicer clothes, mm-hmm. that's a way that you can continue to create a budget for yourself without having to keep shelling out money.
What's some of the biggest challenges you've had in working with clients?
Probably, I'd say their preconceived ideas, and that's for all range of clients.
Yeah.
Is the preconceived ideas, is the, it has to be designer, or it has to be like this, or this is what everyone else is doing. And getting someone to really hone in on who are you. That's mm-hmm. fine. Got it. That's what they're doing. Let's find out what you like about it. But now back to you, because it's about the person. So who are you? And really getting them to look at that and sort of be honest with themselves. That is what is different about me. I'm not interested in being a dictator, or I just want to get the person to look and to have some education and understand what they're trying to do so they can be themselves and not be distracted or introverted about themselves when they're doing things. And that's for all range of clients. And so that isn't that way in fashion. And I think fashion's coming a long way in that it is more inclusive. And the history of fashion's so interesting because it had to do with economics. Mm-hmm. You know, people wearing couture in Paris in the 30s and whatever. Right. This was very much an economical thing, but we're not in that anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think it becomes easier for people. There's a lot of plus points about the, like, Instagram and the things, you know, there's a lot of be yourself, mm-hmm. but there's just as much weird rules and arbitrary things that people come up with and think they can and can't do, and they've got to be like this person. And so I'm not interested in fashion as dictatorship, and I don't like that about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a $10,000 gown or not, I do think it should feel approachable, otherwise you can't reach for it. And so I think getting through those preconceived ideas, or like, people still think they can't wear white after Labor Day. Why? What? I mean, wow. You couldn't wear a beautiful suit in the winter. I think that's gorgeous, a white suit in the winter.
Oh, I do too.
Or a gown or whatever. Oh. You know, there's just these weird ideas. Where did these things come from? You know, they're just so strange and they really stuck. It's amazing to see how they stuck, or their mom said they couldn't wear blah, or
yeah.
they've got, things have to be this length. And I think that that's what actually makes fashion really hard for people. That's the hard thing. But when you get someone to drop the rules and just look, like, try.
Yeah.
You know, just try it on, look at it, play with it. Once people get over that, I think they get comfortable and they can play in that space and not feel uncomfortable. So I'd probably say that's the hardest thing is their own opinions and then other people's opinions.
When should a woman start thinking about dressing age appropriate? And what recommendations do you have for that?
Good question. That's a really good question. I think naturally, and it's not because I think aging's amazing. I just think naturally with someone's body as it changes, one does feel inclined to cover up a little bit more. I don't really think that that's an age thing per se. If you're 80 years old and you do Bikram yoga every day and you have great arms, who cares if you're 80? You know, but I just in good taste and probably with someone's comfort level, I do think probably into someone's like 40s and 50s, really when your body starts changing where it's more noticeable,
right?
It's a good time to start covering up. But I don't think that, I mean, when I say cover up, wear a three-quarter sleeve or you don't have to wear a burqa. I mean, like, you're not like thrown into the garbage. And so I think that you can still be classic. My own personal opinion is I'm not about this skimpy clothing anyway.
Right.
So I don't really have to factor that in because I just think it's like too much of a good thing. You might have a great body, but there are some rules that I do find helpful. The like, you know, if you're going to do a good cleavage, maybe cover up your legs because it's just,
yeah,
I don't think it's about the sexuality of it or really that it's too sexy or anything else. I think it's just, it's too much.
Yeah.
You're communicating too many things at once. And I think it's too hard to say what you're trying to say. It goes back to the communication thing. What are you trying to communicate? So I don't feel that it's anything can ever be too sexy necessarily. I think it's just that's a certain communication. But in terms of age, yeah, I think probably late 40s and 50s, but I think that there's ways that people can still wear the things that they want to wear, like
just a little differently.
Wear tights.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can still wear a short dress, like put some tights on, and that just happens to be very stylish right now anyway.
Right.
But you know, or wear socks or wear a deep V top with a longer sleeve. You know, there's ways to do that to where you don't have to be matronly or, and I think matronly is just, that's a rule that I don't agree with anymore. I don't think the matronly thing, I don't think women have to cut their hair short or do weird things because you're getting older. And I think with small tweaks, women can still feel good about themselves.
I love that. And I love that the rules are changing. And on the skin thing, I mean, it's for the French women kind of have a rule at any age is you only show one skin at a time.
Right.
So if you're showing your arms, you cover your legs and vice versa, your chest or whatever.
And that's for all ages, too.
Yeah.
Yep, I know.
So I think that one makes sense.
Yeah, but I think it's like, it's got to be, I think people resist things when they're coming from a place where it's antiquated and where it's like, if you just look at it from, well, what's the communication that you're trying to, you know, what is it you're trying to say? What is it you're trying to do? That's different because it aligns with what they're trying to do rather than just saying, well, you're old and you're over 50 now, so you should cut your hair. Like, it is not true that all women over 50 have thin hair.
Right.
And you know what? If you do and you can afford extensions, you can get extensions if you want long hair. Whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, so those things, I agree with you. I think it's amazing that times are changing and there are less rules. And I think that that is a benefit to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, I think makeup, though, I think that plays into, I think with style, though, that is one thing I would say is that people have to consider their overall look. When your skin starts to change, there are things like that, you know?
Yeah.
I think wearing cheaper clothes once you start to age, I think becomes a bit inappropriate.
The quality really makes a huge difference as you age, I think.
Yeah, because it, you know, something that's cheaper tends to fit the body or hang in a certain way that maybe highlights something that you don't like. There's no structure. And also, I think it's just generally when you're young, you could go out in sweatpants and you're 20 and put a bun in your hair. And there's something very youthful about that. And I love that. And in your 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s, I think you could still do that. But I think as one ages, what looks best, in my opinion, is to be a bit more polished. And I think that communicates better.
There's a way to do those things if you look at, like, Lauren Hutton.
Yeah. Oh, she's amazing.
76 years old and... She could go out in sweats, but it would be with such style.
That's right. Even Helen Mirren. To me, she's still on my top dress. She has an amazing stylist, and she looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't wear anything that I wouldn't see a 20-year-old wearing a lot of the time. So I think it's just considering like anything else. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has to be a challenge. You know, if you're heavy, you're going to find a way to dress the way that you want with your options. There's so many variables. There's the options. There's your lifestyle. There's your economic status and all these things. But you just find a way. You don't have to be excluded from that either.
The last question I had written down for you is if you had to pick one universal rule for fashion, what would that be?
That's a good one. Wow. I mean, I'd probably have to say it's the show one thing at a time, honestly. I feel like for me that would be, I'm inclined to say really be yourself, you know, and own that mm-hmm. and do it with style. They'll figure out how to do it the right way and own who you are. So for my taste and what I do, I would say show one thing at a time. You know, if you're going to wear the really short skirt, wear the short skirt.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're 19, cover those arms up or cover the boobs up. You know, it's interesting because I think our style probably like the things that we agree on are probably similar.
Yeah.
Because I do have like a naturally French style.
Yes, you do.
It's weird and it's very effortless for me, but I realize what it is just French really do have their, you know, their ways and their rules. And it's funny because they are dictated by rules sartorially, but they don't say that they are.
Right.
You know, like it's all about like spending the 3 hours or whatever to look like you spent half an hour.
Totally.
You know?
Yes.
And I think that's cool though. I think that's a look. And for me, that's what I do try. It's not intentional. It's just, you know, it's like anything else. I don't think a client would hire me, to be honest. That's like, I don't know. That has an aesthetic that's so far off. Could I do mm-hmm. it? Yeah. But that doesn't match up in some sort of alignment. It's just like anything else. It would probably not get the product that either of us wanted, and I'm not looking to change anyone, but for mm-hmm. me that's very innate. Like I do like things that are structured with the unstructured. Mm-hmm. I think that's very French, and you know, like there's the dichotomies and the things that play off each other and the natural things that are natural and fit, and I think that's very cool. So for me, I try to aim to do that.
If you were to give a name to your personal style, what would you call it?
My personal style, I wouldn't extend this to clients because mm-hmm. they're all different, but probably like utilitarian chic. I'm very pragmatic in my own style because I don't like to be uncomfortable. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this just works for me. Like, you know, you can find the benefits of society and how they work for you. I don't like a 6-inch heel. I'm also very tall, so that physically is uncomfortable for me.
Right.
Even 4 inches is like, my perspective is very uncomfortable at that point. I'm 5'10", but I just like to be comfortable,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I like to be able to do whatever I'm doing, and I don't want to have attention on my outfit. But that isn't to say that I don't love a good ball gown, but I really like an undone, you know, I like dichotomies I always have. I love a crisp white shirt with a good red lip mm-hmm. and a messy chignon. Like I just, for me, that's great. I love a sequin crazy top, you know, that you'd wear with a skirt with a jean mm-hmm. and a pump, you know?
Yeah.
I do like something a little weird a lot of the time.
I love putting my distressed leather jacket over my, you know, red lace gown. And
yeah, and I think French style is very much about that. It's not looking like you tried too hard. It is being comfortable. And I think because I think in European countries, and you have this in New York too, people are walking a lot. So they, you know, they're not in LA here in their cars driving from place to place where they can wear dinner shoes.
Right.
So I think that that is what I do like about French style. And I think that that actually can work for everybody because most people are living their lives. They're not on a red carpet. And clients, when they're at the end of the day after the red carpet, they can't wait to take that stuff off.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just like their feet are killing them. So I try to, even for red carpet, if someone's wearing a ball gown, it's like, why don't you wear your hair down and wear it loose or wear less lipstick? Like, just be comfortable in mm-hmm. it. Like, wear the clothes, mm-hmm. you know? And that is what I do really like about French style. I think it's very worn in.
It's more approachable, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
It's funny that people think that it's not approachable. You know, there's this kind of cliche that standoffish or cold or like, it's unattainable.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that it's unattainable. I think that it's that I think Americans try so hard sometimes, you know, it's like, it's really about the effort, and French women make lots of effort, but it's also about routine And mm-hmm. to me, I think that also, I think lifestyle plays into it though. French are very into that. And just Europeans are, they take care of themselves more, which I think makes it much easier to be stylish when you're not so frazzled about it.
Right.
You know, if your body's in good shape, you know, these kind of things, they do play into fashion because it contributes to the communication of what you look like. And it is more effortless. And mm-hmm. it just is.
I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as Sarah and I enjoyed doing it. If you want to get in touch with Sarah for some help or advice, you can contact her through her website at www.sarahacevedo.com.
Mes couleurs sont bleues, a tu si aujourd'hui.